You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another beautiful, beautiful week of Major League Baseball. We are finally past the dog days of summer. We have made it to the final month of Major League Baseball. It is September. It is an exciting time to be a baseball fan. Of course, if you're a fan of anyone in New York or Los Angeles and maybe a couple other cities, if you're a fan in Chicago, if you're a fan in Minnesota, you're probably sitting around endlessly panicking. But right now, it is a great time to be a baseball fan. And welcome to Big Time Baseball on Odyssey Sports. I'm Cody Decker. And of course, the great John Heyman, as always, with me. We're going to talk about just about everything we need to talk about. And let's just get right to it, John. The Mets. The Mets, the Mets, the Mets. Meet the Mets. Beat the Mets. Step right up and try not to slap yourself in the face. They've dropped a 10-game lead. Now, they did go ahead yesterday and win their doubleheader. They swept their doubleheader, in fact. But after dropping a couple of games over to the Nats and then to the Pirates and then officially losing first place for the first time all season, do you think this time for the Mets, is it a failure or is it more so the Braves are not losing?
Good to see you, Cody. I actually do see you. I don't know if anybody else sees you, but you look good. I hear that now. I don't think that's fair to the Mets. This is not a collapse. They've been good. The Braves just win every day. I mean, there's not that much you can do about it. They're really good. They're the World Series champs, defending World Series champs. It's a little – this is before your time now. I'm going to date myself here a bit. 78. Yankees came back from 14.5 down to tie the Red Sox. A little bit like that. They just did not lose. Red Sox still played well, better than 500 in the last couple months, and lost that lead. I think it's just like that. The Mets have still been good, and the Mets still have a relatively easy schedule going down the stretch. Not that the Braves' schedule is that tough, but I still like the Mets to hold on here. But obviously, Atlanta's really, really good.
They are. We talked about it all season long. The three best teams in Major League Baseball, well, at least on the National League side, Dodgers, Braves, Mets, and it's pretty, for the most part, interchangeable between those second two teams. I think everybody kind of has the foregone conclusion that the Dodgers are the best team, if not the National League, maybe all of baseball itself. At least that's my belief as we currently stand. But on the Mets, though, I agree they do have an easy and favorable schedule going forward. Not quite like the Braves, who do have a tougher schedule. The question is the bye. That's the kind of elephant in the room for me, at least, as a baseball fan, because as a baseball fan and a baseball player, we've never dealt with a bye, and I'm still not 100% sold that the bye will be necessarily beneficial to one of these teams. In fact, I think it's going to hurt at least one of the teams that gets the bye.
Well, it's a relatively brief bye. It's only a 3-game first round, so I don't think it's that bad. I have seen teams with the layoffs that Detroit Tigers in 2006 come to mind, but there have been others where the layoff, it's usually longer than this 3-4 days, really does hurt. I mean, all these teams are playing hard to to get that buy. So I'm assuming they think it's worthwhile. I mean, it will be a letdown if the Mets do not get the buy. They have to play those games. You know, I don't know how much a psychological factor plays into it, but, you know, it certainly would hurt them psychologically if they don't win the division after holding that big lead. I mean, same goes for the Yankees on the other side of town. Both had big leads. Mets obviously is much more precarious now as the Braves are breathing down their necks. But I'd rather get that time off, get a little bit of rest. You know, everybody in that rotation has had some sort of injury except for Chris Bassitt. You know, and that's they're like every other team, really. The injuries has been an epidemic this year, really been incredible. But, you know, I still think the rest, the time off, the fact that you will not be eliminated early, I think that's all a positive.
Yeah. And the other thing, you mentioned the rest that they might need. I mean, they are a team that's dealing with injuries. And I know every Met fan is in the back of their head just reminiscing about, I don't know, every year of Mets history where their stars eventually go down. I mean, Scherzer going down. I know it's not possibly a major injury, but it still is giving people that same feeling of the Mets past. And Guillorme's injured right now. DeGrom obviously is out there, but
Marte's out.
Like, yep. It is a concern.
Absolutely. I mean, injuries are play a huge role. I mean, look at the Twins. They have 17 guys hurt. Look at the Yankees. Six out of their nine starters, and really their 2 through 7 best hitters, all out right now. So, I mean, injuries are going around the league. It is epidemic. It is unfortunate. It is a part of the Mets' past and their present, and certainly part of the concern of all Mets fans. No question about that.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the Yankees. Let's go to the other side of town. Let's talk about the Yankees. I mean, they did come away with a big day yesterday. Now, when I say big day, game one was an absolute train wreck. I don't want to give them too much credit here. That was one of the worst baseball games I think I've ever seen a team win, maybe ever. I mean, 11th inning alone, I can't believe everyone wasn't fired. I mean, they just, bases loaded, nobody out. The double play ball and the lack of hustle down the line, I get that you're 0-for-5, but the fact that that guy wasn't sent down immediately is mind-boggling.
He just got up. You're going to send him down?
You got it? I mean, come on. That was as bad as it gets.
I don't get it. I mean, Ronald Guzman, we met him in the clubhouse, at least I did, the day before. Seemed like such a nice guy, so sincere, and I don't get it. I don't get this lack of hustle that we saw. We saw that from Donaldson the other day where he kind of jaked it, going to first. I don't know where he thought he had a home run, but was thrown out by a mile at second. Should have been a double, you know. Boone said he talked to him when he was asked by Sweeney Murdy. Thank God somebody asked, but I mean, you know, no repercussions. Of course, they need even though Donaldson's a 220 hitter at this point, they absolutely need him. You know, you sound like Steinbrenner, and maybe the first Steinbrenner. You wanted everyone fired. That may be what they need. I mean, George Steinbrenner, he won what, 6 titles?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't won one since 2009. You know, I think somebody does need to get tougher over there.
Yeah,
somehow, because Aaron Boone, lovely man, mm-hmm, from your neck of the woods down in Southern California, but a little too nice at times, I think.
Yeah. I might be exaggerating a bit when I say fire everyone. Although, you know what? I got fired plenty of times. I don't see why anybody else isn't getting this type of treatment.
Yeah, but it wasn't right.
Yeah, but I will say, man, I agree with you. I think there's a toughness factor. I think there is an accountability factor on the Yankees that simply does not exist. I get that you have stars, but it takes, and this is not a knock on Aaron Boone. I actually am a big fan of Aaron Boone. I think Aaron Boone brings a lot of good things to the table for the Yankees. But someone's got to crack the whip on the team. Someone's got to do it.
Well, they've been terrible. I mean, other than playing the Twins, I mean, thank God for the Twins. I mean, I don't know what it is. Well, they're 39-114 against the Yankees, including postseason since 2002. Thanks, Eric Boland, for that stat. I saw that on Twitter. Amazing. And I believe it because I've witnessed it. And every postseason when they play the Twins, it's always a sweep. There is a thing about having a team's number, and they clearly have their number.
Well, you know, as of right now, we are discussing the Mets and the Yankees and kind of the contrast and dichotomy between both of their quote-unquote collapses. If you were to call one of them a collapse, In my opinion, I wouldn't call the Mets a collapse at all. I think they're playing tough baseball against another tough in-division rival. The Yankees, however, I mean, being up as what is close to 20 games as recently as just a month and a half ago, this is a collapse. This is a full-on collapse.
It's amazing. I mean, they were en route to a season like the 1998 Yankees. At one point, they were on pace for 122 wins. Now, less than 100, which, you know, I mean, for most teams, if you win 97, 98 games, that's pretty good. But, I mean, right now, they do not look like a team that could beat too many teams. Luckily, they have the Twins on the schedule, and that helps. Obviously, we know they cannot beat the Yankees, but you know, they're going to have to prove they can beat somebody else. And I'm not sure at this point why anyone is pitching to Judge. Now, Boltelli walked him a couple times yesterday. Nevin walked him a few times. Nevin was the one guy who really caught on early that you cannot pitch to Aaron Judge. I don't get the rest of the league. I think he's been intentionally walked now 13 times. It should be like 200 times at this point. You know, at 55 home runs, the guy's amazing. But can he carry the team? Will he get enough pitches to get the record? It's, you know, very interesting to see. But, I mean, I've never seen a guy carry a team like this ever, and I've been around a long time, as you know, Cody.
Yeah, and it's just – it's incredible because he – I mean, like you said, why aren't – I mean, I get why they're putting him at leadoff because you're not going to intentionally walk the leadoff, man. But obviously, a big factor in this is also the fact that Giancarlo Stanton is down. I mean, you have the protection of Giancarlo Stanton and Anthony Rizzo. And I know that Anthony Rizzo is not quite Mickey Mantle in the comparison that I would make in this Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle scenario. But that is a very good bat to have behind you that might give a team a little more pause to intentionally walk Judge.
Right. Or Carpenter, who was great.
Carpenter, you know, as well.
Carpenter's great. LeMahieu is out. I mean, Stanton and Rizzo are the obvious guys, but all of the potential guys are out, you know, and Benintendi's out. I don't know why Benintendi was batting behind him at times. I didn't get that myself. But he's probably better than the options now that you have. I mean, Donaldson has got below a 700 OPS. So I believe Torres probably does too. Those are probably the two best remaining options, and they're both having below par years. They're really isn't a good option right now, and there really isn't a good reason to pitch to Aaron Judge. I still think he's going to break Roger Maris's record, and I still call Roger Maris's record because I'm very old school, and I believe that's the record. I still think he can do it with the pitches that he'll get, but no good reason to pitch to him.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I agree, especially right now. They're like right now with this lineup that they're rolling out there. The fact that, and I'm going to say this, the fact that he's leading off, put him on. Put him on. I'm not throwing him one time. Why would you? It's just the guy's in scoring position in the batter's box by himself at all times. I don't need it. I don't need it in my life. Just pitch around the guy.
Well, I think that might be a first, but, you know, we've seen some unusual intentional walks this year. We've seen guys intentionally walked with one and two counts. I mean, that's the White Sox. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, fairly – it's not unreasonable. Your thinking is not unreasonable. I do think they do need to intentionally walk him. He's been amazing. He can play center field, bat leadoff. He's the clubhouse leader now. I mean – just an incredible, incredible season for a guy who bet on himself and won big.
You know, this is not in the rundown, but let's just play a little speculatory game real quick because I have a very, very, very sneaking suspicion that he will not be a Yankee going forward after this season. And to me, it seems like it's already written in the stars, in the San Francisco sand, that he will be a San Francisco Giant.
I don't think so. But I like your thing. You're very enthusiastic, Cody. I give you credit there. I don't see it. I mean, I don't know him that well, but I do see him almost every day, it seems like, at least when they're at home. I think he likes those home runs to right center that he's getting.
How can he not?
And, you know, I think he has 21 home runs now that were not going to be home runs in a bunch of parks. I don't know the exact stat, as you can see, but, he takes advantage in right center. He really does. And I think it's pretty tough that home run to right center if you're right-handed hitter.
It is.
For the Giants. And, you know, I do think there isn't. I know that Randy Levine, who we had on our podcast from New York Post this week, and other Yankee types point this out a bunch. I do think there is an advantage for him being a Yankee and having at least the original judges' chambers. I guess you could have judges' chambers anywhere, but that's what the original judges' chambers are. And, maybe I'm being provincial here, but and obviously we saw Freddie Freeman leave when nobody expected it. I'm not going to say shocked. I'm going to be surprised if he does leave. Ultimately, almost everybody goes for the biggest deal. I don't know if the Yankees are going to be the biggest deal, but I do think they're going to be, as Randy Levine told us, extremely competitive. I know that's not exactly what the fans wanted to hear, but, you know, an extremely competitive means they're going to have to change their tune. I didn't think their offer was bad, $213.5 million.
Me neither.
They're going to have to change their tune, and they're going to have to go up to where he was or probably even beyond that, maybe around $40 million. A year, but I'm going to be surprised if he's not a Yankee, and I'm going to be very surprised if he's a Giant. But I like your enthusiasm for that.
I don't know. I see the Giants have a lot of money to play with, and it may.
We'll do a side bet on that.
Yeah.
So
let's do it. I'm in. On top of that, I mean, might as well get into it, because if you pay attention to baseball Twitter, my God, it is a blood feud. You are either on one side or the other. There is no in between. So I'll just ask you, John, and I'm already assuming the answer is Aaron Judge. Who's your AL MVP?
Oh my God. You know, I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Are you on Southern California Twitter? I don't see too many people tweeting that should be Ohtani, other than our friend Ben Verlander.
I see everybody tweeting it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the actual voters, I mean, I know there are a lot of analytics folks, but even they, you know, the war figures are still favored Judge at this point.
I actually have a question about that, because I've actually asked this question a few times and no one's been able to properly answer it to me. And it's a question about war. And I know pretty much everything about war with the exception of one thing. Does war properly actually display the value of Shohei Ohtani? Because yes, he does get the defensive metrics from the outing that he pitches in, but then he plays six games a week where he is not pitching. Thus, he doesn't get the metrics of that defensive war that Aaron Judge does.
Right. Well, I don't think he should. I mean, if he's not, nothing again. The guy's amazing. Nobody has done what he's done. He's an incredible baseball player, one of the greatest players of all time, but you shouldn't get defensive points if you're not playing a defensive position. He gets them for his pitching. I do think that's fair. That said, I don't think war is perfect. If you look at even the lifetime totals, which should even out, you know, I think some players are undervalued, some are overvalued. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's possible he's undervalued. I don't know. But, if you're going to be on the analytics side, you need to be able to make a case. I don't see a case at this point for Ohtani other than he's the most incredible, the most amazing. To me, the word is most valuable. And, you know, we had guys from losing teams win the award, but that's always in a year where no one else is really close. You know, you can't say that even if you favor Ohtani, you can't say Judge isn't close to the MVP.
Absolutely close.
A-Rod won, Dawson won. There have been guys who won on non-contenders, even last place or really bad teams. It is possible, but you'd have to have no competition, I think, to do it. In this case, we're looking at a guy who's had a year that's really comparable to Yaz in 67, Mantle in 56. I don't see a case. I do think it's not going to be unanimous, but I'm going to be shocked if Ohtani gets more than five votes. I really will be.
Interesting. Interesting. Now I'm of the train that does think it's Ohtani. That being said, I'm not of the train that it's only Ohtani and we can't have this conversation. Of course we can have this conversation. Aaron Judge is doing something borderline biblical right now. Ignoring it is foolish and quite frankly, it's stupid. Those of you who think Judge is the MVP, guess what? You're right. Those of you who think that Ohtani is the MVP, guess what? You're probably also right.